Dearest Lord, we acknowledge that you are a faithful God. Even though we were unfaithful time and again and we turned our backs on you, time and again we were disobedient and we have not kept our part of the bargain, but you are still a faithful God. Till the moment that we were born in this world to this time, you are a faithful God in delivering and fulfilling your promises. When, Lord, there are times that we could have gone away from this world through accidents or through sickness or through, Lord, inflictions in our life, you are a faithful God. The times when we called out to your name and we prayed, when we were in trouble, Lord, you are a faithful God to hear our prayers, Lord. We acknowledge you as a faithful God. We bless your name this morning. Father, we lift up our hands to you and we adore you, Father. Every morning we experience your loving kindness. Every night we see your faithfulness in our life. Father, we adore you, we acknowledge you, we give you the glory. We pray that, Lord, let your will be fulfilled in our lives this morning. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Help us to understand your thoughts about us. Lord, give us a direct, Lord, message that we will hear and we will obey you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this day. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Can we give God a good hand of applause? Praise God. Please take your seat. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, God is a faithful God. Can you say that? God is a faithful God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let the words of our mouth acknowledge the fact that God is a faithful God. This morning, let's move forward in our message this morning. For those who have been coming, who came last Sunday, you know that we started a new sermon series called Visionary Church. And we are looking at the vision that our Lord Jesus has for the church. Unless and until we understand what God's plan and his vision is, we will not know how to move forward. So last Sunday we looked at the vision of Christ's supremacy. Jesus Christ is supreme. He reigns supreme. He is the Lord of the church. The church belongs to him because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail over it. We also looked at the preeminence of Jesus. Not only in our church, but he should also be preeminent in our life as well. Today we are going to move forward from there and look into the second session of our series. And I would call it Visionary Leadership. We are going to talk about us being in the kingdom of God, and we are people who should have a vision about what Christ is expecting from our lives. Jesus, as a supreme leader, as the head of the church, as the head of the body of Christ, he has a vision, but we have to transpose that vision in our personal life. And so it is a message for each and every one of us. Christ is our example for a visionary leadership. And we must turn to the Word of God to understand the attributes of how Jesus did his visionary leadership. Before I get started, let me quote a small clip from John Maxwell when he wrote his book called The Success Journey. John Maxwell is an authority on leadership. And this is what he has written. A dream without a positive attitude produces a daydreamer. A positive attitude without a dream produces a pleasant person. But a dream together with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potential. Let me tell, a dream with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited possibilities and potentials. There are two things. One is a dream or a vision. Number two, you have to be positive and you have to be obedient to the heavenly vision. Webster's dictionary defines vision as something supposedly seen by other than normal sight, something perceived in a dream, supernaturally revealed as to a prophet. For us, the word how we see that is through faith. When we have faith in the word of God, we have the vision that God has for us. Because the vision is an ability to see what you don't see with your physical eyes. The Bible has defined faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Like this, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. When we walk by faith, we look at things that are not there, but we are believing in the word of God and we are walking in the light of the vision that God has given us. Also in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, it says, where there is no revelation, people perish or people cast off restraint. When there is no vision, when there is no revelation, you walk in your own ways. You do things that are pleasing to you. You are walking in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You have no understanding about the plan of God for you, and so you cast off restraint and you are perishing. And that is not what Christ wants from us. It is the vision that we get from God in response to our faith, and our faith brings the certainty and assurance of our vision. It is the faith that we have in the work of God that will give us the assurance of our faith, of our certainty in our vision. So today the church needs leaders, and I mean every one of us are a leader in some way or the other. Don't only look to some people are leaders. You all are leaders, because you can all start leading in some area of your life. Wherever God has given you a chance and opportunity, you can be a leader. As a parent, you are a leader in your home. As a person who is going to work, you may have people under you. You may be a people manager. You are a leader there. You are a leader within the church in any area that you take. You are a leader there, and your leading should be according to the vision that Christ is presenting to you. Jesus Christ lived out his vision. Jesus was clear about what his Father wanted him to do. Even when he was 12 years old, we know how Jesus answered his mother and said, "Don't you know I should be in my Father's business?" At 12 years of age, Jesus was clear about the vision that God had for him, the plan that God had for him. So everything that Jesus did was intentional. Nothing happened by accident in the case of Jesus. He decided to reveal himself at the right moment. He decided to set forth for his ministry in the right moment. And during his ministry, he went to Jerusalem in the right moment. He allowed himself to be crucified in the right moment. He knew what the Heavenly Father had in store for him. And today I want to give an excerpt from Jesus' life to show how Jesus lived out his vision that God had for him. If you have your Bibles with you, can you turn to the Gospel of Matthew? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, and we are going to read a few verses there. Everyone, please look to your Bible. I will read out from my Bible, which is the New King James Version. You may have a different translation, but please read through this verse, because I'm sure God is going to talk to you about following Jesus, who has a vision. He is the visionary leader, and we will follow after him. Let me read it from my Bible, Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read from verse 35 to verse number 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." As we look at this part of the vision of Jesus, I want to break this down in three parts. When you look at the total vision of Jesus and what he is doing to fulfill that vision, I want to basically bring out to you three different parts. Number one is the mission. The first part I would say as the mission. Every vision has a mission. It has something that we need to do. Look at verse number 35. It says Jesus went. He traveled. Where did he travel? To all the cities and villages. And what did he do? He taught, he preached, and he healed the people of God. You know, Jesus was not sitting in his home in Nazareth dreaming of what he could do and praying to God, "Lord, you bring the people to my doorstep, to my father's house. I'm here helping my dad with the carpentry work. Lord, you bring people to my doorstep. I'm going to do something about it." It says Jesus started traveling. He went to all the cities and the villages. He was not only dreaming. Some people are only dreamers. They all say, "Oh, if only God can do something about it." Only wishing and wishing and not even lifting a small finger to do what God wants from us. But when we have a vision, we start in a mission. We live through action. We do what God is telling us to do. And Jesus said, and in his case, he had a specific plan of action. Jesus had a specific plan of action. What he would do? He would enter into the synagogues and he would teach the people. He would go in the public place. He would stand on top of the boats. He will go up the mountain. He will be beside the sea. He will go to the villages. He would sit beside a woman by the well. He would go to a cremation, a burial site at the tomb of Lazarus. He would visit people. He was always a people person. He would go from home to home. If somebody says he would go to their home to heal them, he was always with the crowd going about doing the business that God had for him because his vision was very clear there. And he would do it. So I am just telling you here, if you have a conviction of the vision of God, you need to know very clearly, this is not just a dream. Don't leave it as a dream. Start acting upon it. Because if you don't act upon your dream, it will remain a dream and you will never be able to fulfill it. How can you bring to reality the vision that God has given you? This is what separates somebody whom God can use from somebody whom God will not use. You may have the same vision as some people, but if you don't take a step to do what God wants you to do, nothing is going to be done. And the Bible says very clearly that we need to take the step of faith. When God tells us to do something, take the step of faith. Don't wait for a brief flash of lightning and an angel coming and telling you. When you know clearly what you have to do, take the next step of faith. A proverb, somebody has said like this, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. You need to take your feet and start the first step. And then the next step. And when you start taking the steps one after the other, God is going to open up doors that you can never imagine in your life. When you start taking the steps according to the vision that God gives you, when you move out of your comfort zone and say, "Lord, I obey you. I see what you want from me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the next step." God will start opening doors in front of you. This is what happened for the children of Israel. When they came to the brink of the Jordan River, you know what? It says when the priests put their legs on the water parted into two and they crossed the dry Jordan River. And I'm telling you, the first obedient step of faith is what God requires from you. Many times we are not fulfilling the vision because we are not ready to take that step of faith. I remember in my personal life journey in 2010, October, when God spoke to me about the need for people to walk and read the Word of God on a daily basis. I remember praying to God about it. For 2.5 months, from October to December of 2010, I started praying about it. I never thought about it, something is going to happen, but God revealed to me that I need to do something about people reading God's word on a daily basis. I got hold of God and God started revealing to me some ideas about what I can do. So by faith, on January 1st of 2011, it is the Lord's doing. He started to give me ideas and I started writing a devotional blog called United in the Word. And I'm telling you, for the glory of God, when I took my first step on the first day, every day God would open up doors for me. And God enabled me to fulfill the vision that God gave me in my life. And God took me to places where God allowed me to publish 3 devotional books and be in the radio for 3 years reading out my devotionals. How did this all start? With the first step that I took. I said, Lord, this is a vision that you gave me. I'm going to obey your word. I am telling you, not for my glory. I am telling you that God has given each of you some vision in your life. Don't sit there and imagine things are going to happen by itself. You need to take your first step of faith and start fulfilling the vision. Because your visionary journey begins with a first step of obedient faith as you live out in what God is working for you. When Hudson Taylor was a director of China Inland Mission, he interviewed candidates for a mission field. There were many people who came to apply and he asked them, what is motivating you for this service? Why do you want to go to China as a foreign missionary? One of them said, I want to go because Christ has commanded me to go all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another person said, I want to go because millions are perishing without Christ. Many people gave different answers and Hudson Taylor said, all these motives are good, but they will fail when testings, trials, tribulations and possible death comes to you. All these motivations will fail. What is going to last? There is one thing that is going to sustain you through your trials and testing. It is the love of Christ in your life that you have for people who are perishing outside. If you do not have the love of Christ, all this, what you are saying is going to fail you. But when you have the love of God in your heart, that is going to take you to the next place. And so, you know, this is exactly what happened in the case of Jesus. Even in the case of Apostle Paul, who said, you follow me as I follow Christ. When Apostle Paul took water baptism, the very next day or the very same day, Paul started preaching in the synagogues and Paul started traveling with the message of the gospel the very same day because he took that step. And God allowed Paul to become a great missionary who established many churches, who wrote many letters, who did mighty things for God. But do you know when it all started? When he was in Damascus with his eyes closed, with blinded, he said, the moment I'm waiting for Ananias to come and pray for me, the moment he got the healing, he took water baptism. He did not wait for any moment. Immediately he took water baptism and then he started preaching what he knew, the revelation that God has given him. Today I want to tell you, the love of God in our hearts have to motivate. If you want to be what Christ wants in your life, you want Jesus to send you where he wants you to go. So I was telling about the mission. Let's look at the vision of Christ, the thing that motivated. I've already told you. Look at verse number 36 here. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, it said he was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the people, because they were weary or they were distressed, they were scattered, they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. You know, what did Jesus see in the people? He saw that they were weary. He saw that they were distressed. He saw that they were without a leader. They were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. When Jesus looked at somebody, he could see the need in their life. And Jesus addressed that particular need. You know, Jesus said in another part in Matthew 18:11 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who were lost. He knew that this is what God told him. Because why did he say that? The prophecy about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, who are the lost people? People who are going to be destroyed eventually. They are perishing. They are alive today, but they are going to end up in eternity away from God. They are perishing. So when Jesus looked at those people, he saw that there was a lost multitude. And so the love of God, the love that Jesus had, motivated him to do all this preaching and teaching and healing. He addressed the needs of the people. Jesus saw them as broken. He saw them as distressed, as downcast, as perishing. And he saw that they were without any direction. They were like sheep. Without a shepherd, they were lost, and nobody could recover them unless he would step in. And so what Jesus happened? Inside of Jesus, he says he was moved with compassion. He had compassion on the people. And so that is what we see. When he saw that, the next thing he saw in verse number 37 that we read, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus saw all these people as harvest. They are plenty of harvest everywhere. You know, you don't have to travel across the world to reach somebody for Christ. They are in your neighborhood. They are in your schools. They are in your workplaces. You don't have to go anywhere. Jesus has given you a mission, and you are a missionary where you are. I really commend people who are traveling abroad, but I'm telling you, your next door neighbor needs Christ as much as somebody out in the far off countries. And God has given us that great vision that we need to be moved with compassion when we see them as lost people. And the only way that they can come to the Lord is through you. God has placed you in their sphere of influence so that you can reach them with the gospel. You know, I have a conviction. The conviction is that the vision is to see people the way we see people for whom Jesus died. God loved this world. God loved all the people of the world. And he died for them. And we have the conviction that we need to reach out to them. And for reaching out to them, I come to the third part of it. So the first was the mission. The second was the vision, where you really see the need of the people. And third thing he says, that there will be also a resource. You have a resource. In verse number 38, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. What is the resource that God has given to us? It is a resource of prayer. Going into the prayer closet. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people. As our church, our leadership, our visionary leadership, should begin with sustained prayer. Intentional prayer that, God, you send out workers into the harvest field. And I'm telling you, from the time that we have started our prayer time on Wednesdays, for those who attend our Wednesday prayer calls, we end with this prayer. Lord, send out workers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Lord, you send out. So prayer is our first way how we can get God to do that. But also it says in Romans chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 10. Verse number 15 onwards. And I want you to underline some words there. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, he says they will be saved from destruction. But how then can they call on whom they have not believed? How can they believe on whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, you see the words there? People can only call and they can be saved when they believe in Jesus. They can only believe when they hear the gospel. They can only hear when there is a preacher, somebody who can convey the gospel, then only they can hear. And who can preach unless they are sent? Somebody needs to send them. And Jesus, and the word says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bear the good tidings of glad, great joy. You know, each of us are a preacher. Don't think preaching only from a pulpit. You preach with your life. You preach with your acts of piety, your acts of compassion. You preach every day. Every day you're preaching to the people. They look at you and they see you as a preacher. But we need to go and display the gospel of Jesus to other people. God has given us the responsibility to pray. God has given us the responsibility to send people to the harvest. But also we need to go ourselves. You know, we are inadequate. And so what God said? And he said that I'm going to give my Holy Spirit. You need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to empower you to be a witness. And that is why in Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. God knew that we are inadequate to reach the good news of the gospel to the people. And so he sent his Holy Spirit. Today he is pouring out his Holy Spirit on the church. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness for the Lord. And that is his plan for you. Have a vision to Lord and pray, Lord, you baptize me with the Holy Spirit so that I am empowered to be a witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Let me close here. My time is up. Isaiah chapter 6. The prophet Isaiah sees a vision of God. He also sees the sin among his people. He sees his own sin after he sees that vision. He listens to two questions that God asked. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah does not say, Lord, send my neighbor. Or send my pastor. Or send the missionary. Isaiah did not say it like that. He says, here am I. Send me, Lord. The Lord says, go and tell the people. You know, this is what the Lord requires from us. There is a true story of Henry Martin, who was a great missionary. He had a brilliant career in Cambridge. He rejected all the opportunities to go to a mission field. This is what he prayed. Here am I, Lord. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans in the wilderness. Send me to all that is called the comfort of the earth. Send me even to death itself, if it is for your service and for your kingdom. Can we just can we just stand up on our feet right now? This is an act of surrender. I want you to surrender your life to the Lord. You know, I'm just telling you, God has called you. Before the foundations of the world, he has chosen you. He called you into his kingdom. Not to just come and do something and be in a service and go home. He wants you to be productive in his kingdom. God is building up his kingdom. And he's building it through each one of us. Can you say, Lord, I want to be used by you. Use my hands, Lord. Use my feet, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Can we just lift up our hands to the Lord? As we sing a small chorus, as I request the worship team to come forward. Here I am, Lord. We are going to sing in English and also in Malayalam. I just want us to, we don't have the time, so we are going to just sing the chorus. Here am I. Lord, use me. Can we just lift up our hands, everyone, across this? I want us to give ourselves as a total token of surrender and say, here am I, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are the Lord in whom I trust. There is nobody else who can help me. I need the power. Here am I. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord.